todo el mundo.
But this was really
81. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Lane Wilson, author of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series and director of the documentary The Ventures, Stars on Guitars. This is your destination for all things rock, where the interviewees include musicians, authors, historians, filmmakers, and more. And now, on to the show. I'm happy to have Robert Schwartzman on the podcast today. Robert is not only an accomplished musician and a member of the famous filmmaking family, the Coppolas, but he's also the director of a brand new documentary about the iconic psychedelic rock band, The Zombies. Believe it or not, this is the very first feature-length chronicle on The Zombies. Let's welcome Robert to the show and hear what he has to say about the making of this landmark documentary.
It's nice to meet you, and thank you for being on
that. Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the documentary. I learned a lot. And I know that you directed a lot of narrative films, but this is your first documentary. So walk me through how, as a millennial, you were attracted to wanting to help tell the story of this boomer rock band.
No, it's funny. Growing up, I listened to a lot of music growing up and was turned on to a lot of different bands of different eras. And I don't know, it's like what I grew up in a musical family, musicians in my family. Like my grandfather was a conductor and a composer. So I think just being exposed to music in film, in life, just made me very sensitive to always wanting to listen to new, whatever I could get my hands on. And when you find when you find something that just sucks you in melodically, musically, like you just gravitate towards that. So I find myself really loving very like melodic songwriters that have an interesting sense of taking you on a ride musically, where you create familiarity musically and chordally. The chord progressions in music create some familiarity. Like pop music is very familiar to us as like humans. Like we gravitate towards certain melodies that repeat and things like that. But then there's like a curveball moment musically where there's something unexpected that happens. That's the way I describe the Zombies music. That's whenever I write songs, I try to write songs I like to naturally just write songs that kind of surprise you musically. So yeah, that's my way of describing the Zombies. Like it's very like sophisticated pop music. Rod Argent, who wrote a lot of those early hits, was classically trained or classically inspired. He was in a choir. It's in the film we discover sort of like musical roots. But I think when you have that foundation, it opens up your world melodically and musically to challenge yourself as a songwriter. But yeah, I don't know what it was like. I listened to a lot of music from the 60s, from the 50s. I'd say that's my biggest, like, I went down the rabbit hole a lot of my early days of listening to music in like 60s pop music, girl groups, bro building songwriters, into British Invasion songs, following that into more like psychedelic experimental early 70s music. But I found myself more in like the 60s pop era was where I was like drawn to. So yeah, I don't know what it was, but there's something about the Zombies music that I just think is just different than their artists of the same movement. something about it that just really stood out to me.
And yeah, that does have a timeless quality to it.
Yeah, we made the movie Hung Up on a Dream. We called it Hung Up on a Dream. And for me, that title was very jumped out right away. It was like an obvious title to call it. It's named after a song from Odyssey and Orgel. But so it's nice when you find a song title that's actually from the band's catalog that has a deeper meaning to like the story. The idea of dreaming is young teenagers who meet in high school to start a band and all these things. We're all hung up on a dream. That's what keeps us moving as artists, is like the dream side of it. Usually it's reality that can shake you away from following your dreams and music and creations.
Now, I want to get down to more of a less creative aspect of making documentaries, because they are notoriously difficult when it comes to getting music rights. And from what I gathered here, the Zombie songs were owned by the record companies. It wasn't really totally in their control. So how did you navigate that aspect?
It's for music clearances. It's when you make an indie film, even if it's scripted or unscripted, music usually plays some role in a film storytelling. So when you have a doc about a certain artist, you can make a doc about anything, but when it's about a band, obviously you have to have music from their catalog, like featured in it. We were lucky because the band had access to their original masters, which we were able to even have a moment in the film where we deconstruct some of the Odyssey and Oracle recordings, which is very like traditional music doc moment. But for me, that's such a great album that would be, it just felt like we needed to go deeper into it on screen. But yeah, we were fortunate that we had so many artists support us and buy into what we were doing. Because it does take, you have to have champions like to make anything. Even if you're making some high level, expensive, whatever movie, you still need someone along the way to buy in and champion you. So yeah, we made a doc that celebrates what I think is one of the greatest bands in music and rock and roll history, who became a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band, which is not a small thing to become, to get that label. Along the way, you find people that go, oh my, I love that you're telling this story. This is a long journey. We need to be able to lift up these great musicians and bring them to the next generation. All you can hope for is that people support you. You duke it out every step of the way, making a movie, having to retell your story all over again and share your passion with people. But yeah, you'll see in the film that it's just wall-to-wall zombies music. And you can't really do that if the sort of rights are in a position where it's going to be a challenge and an obstacle to get those cleared. But everyone was down to support us. So that's how we were able to pull it off.
That is very helpful. And it's good to have that nurturing experience along the way. And also something about making a documentary. You often find the story as you're making it, or as you're in the editing room, in your case with Hung Up on a Dream, did you go in with the structure already worked out, or did you go with the flow?
The challenge of making Hung Up on a Dream was that we didn't have tons of archival. The band in those days, it's not like you have an iPhone in your pocket, you could just keep shooting things. So like to have like, in those days, there were film cameras like that were used a lot. And even like a little handheld film camera, every now and then we found something that sort of a tiny little crumb of something that could help us bring the audience to that actual place. But we had to sort of like, you know, get creative with how we could build the worlds around the stories they were telling without access to like true archival from their career. So yeah, that's the magic of filmmaking. And my hope, maybe someone watching this interview and then seeing the film is going to know this going in, but my hope is that you're losing yourself in the film as any film experience, is that you forget where you are and you're lost in the story in a good way. But people seem to really connect to the film and feel that it affects them emotionally, that it does a good job of kind of finding those emotional hooks in their friendship that sort of kept the glue that is the zombies is their friendship. And I think there's a great lesson in there for all bands to get to the heart of what really matters at the end of the day. Because we get so swept up in worrying about the single on the radio and the big, all the huge this and that for your career. But I think the truth is that we need to be focused on the quality of what we're putting out in the world and like maintaining a true, genuine connection with each other as creators. That's the beauty of it. So there's that wonderful lesson and emotional hook in the film. But we went in the interview that we shot in New York City. There's a a setup where Colin and Rod are being interviewed on a little couch setup in a studio. And if you look closely, what I wanted people to realize the more and more they watch this movie is that we recreated the She's Not There promotional music video scene. So if you watch the music promo video, because they were called promotional videos back then, not music videos. There was no MTV in the 60s. But there's like there's like statues and couch and models and mannequins. And it's like a very Victorian looking set. And we did that. We tried to create like the She's Not There world. So that was our way of giving it like a personal touch and adding a little bit of a creative excitement piece to it. And then I love shots of like still life jukeboxes, a vinyl being placed on a turntable as they're talking about playing the song. I love those little clever transitional visual pieces just because it keeps the audience engaged and something to consume and look at and take your mind off things. So I think we tried to find a way to not just kind of be hunkered down too much in these speaking interviews, but to be able to cut away to enough that keeps your eye and your ears and everybody very occupied.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fun Easter eggs for true fans, but it's also great for anyone just scratching beyond the surface of the songs that we all know. But I know you can't fit in everything, and unless I somehow missed it, I didn't see a mention of the use of She's Not There as a mashup with Bessie Smith for Kill Bill 2.
Yeah.
Did you want to put that in, or were there other things that you wished you could put in but weren't able to?
Yeah, there's always going to be like something when you have when you've been doing it for over 60 years and you want to shrink it down into 90 minutes. It's hard. Like our first cut was much longer. Like we had a much longer version of the film. We had so many great gems said in these interviews from everybody. It's really, that's the kind of magic of documentary filmmaking that I learned as we went was, and it's what happens on any movie. It's like you're shaping something for the audience to experience. And you have to be mindful of the sort of film experience and not just, you're not making a textbook jamming every little piece of history into one thing. We as fans, we live in a world today where you can access a lot of information. So we can go consume other story elements of their 60 plus years in other places. There are places to discover a lot of stories that we didn't tell. But with our film, we wanted to hone in on aspects of their career that we felt were the most important for the story and the emotional hooks that we were supporting.
Looks like we're out of time, but I just wanted to say congratulations on a job well done. And thank you for being on the podcast.
I appreciate it. These interviews and these moments that I think I really highlight as so important because this is the part where people discover the movie. We can make any movie. I can go play a show. And as if no one's in the room, I'm not completing the idea of playing for people. We made this movie for audiences. So like any chance we can be able to tell the story and create some awareness for our films is important. So I appreciate the time.
Oh, yeah. I definitely recommend any music fan check it out. Thanks again.
Awesome. Stacey, take care. I appreciate it.
This concludes another episode of the Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast. Remember, there's a book series too. All the books are available in paperback, ebook, and audio via Amazon or the Rock and Roll Nightmares website. That's rockn-roll-nightmares.com. Our official theme song is She's Out for Blood by Fuzzbuster, founded by Lars Cabot. Thank you for listening.